This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So, darling.
Good afternoon, everyone. How's it going? This is Tyler Dunn sitting here with Bob McGinn for a post-draft Packers podcast at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. Bob, how's it going?
Good. We're out in beautiful Dykesville right today at your spot here,
yeah,
Tyler.
Yeah, beautiful Dykesville, Wisconsin, right up on the bay. Thanks for making the trip up.
Right by Knuckleheads Pub, huh?
Oh, Knuckleheads. Did you notice the ring of barrels in the front of Knuckleheads? That it's for pig wrestling, I believe.
Is that right?
I swore I saw a pig wrestling sign outside of there last summer. Yeah.
That's a good time, huh?
Yeah. a little wrong. I don't think you can do that in 2015. Well, that was a big story, I think, elsewhere in the state of Wisconsin last summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
Yeah.
So. Interesting place. I've only been inside of there once, and I doubt I'll be popping back.
My daughter and her husband, their band has played up at some pig wrestling event up in up by Crivitz, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, somewhere up there.
I think, all right, it's their
good stuff.
So I remember seeing some guy with maybe four or five teeth like defending pig wrestling on the news once, and he said that the pigs actually enjoy it. They enjoy being wrestled, Bob.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm not an animal rights guy at all, but it just seems a little weird. Not necessarily wrong, just a little odd.
No question.
Is it a pastime of Wisconsin? I've only been here 4.5 years. I mean, is it like a...
That was kind of the first one I heard about the band going up there. I don't know.
So what do you just get all muddied up and start wrestling pigs?
Got some rock music working and it works for them, Pete. So Knuckleheads, they might have something going on down there, huh?
Yeah, I don't think so. But more of a Fox Harbor Hagemeister Park guy. Gotta give a shout out to our basketball sponsor there, Hagemeister. Playoffs Monday at the Kroc Center.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great that
big
you're
night.
Playing,
big night. How we doing? Little Stand By Me. That was your selection.
In memory of Mr. Ben E. King. Not Benny. Ben, middle initial E. King. That song, he passed away about 10 days ago.
Hmm.
Mid-70s, I think. In March, that song was selected by the Library of Congress. I think one of 25 put into the Library of Congress just to kind of show the music of our times. Wow. It's a great song. I mean, it's been remade 100 times by country and pop artists alike. But Benny King, Stand By Me, 1960. It's really something.
Yeah, it's a classic. 1960.
Yeah.
That long ago.
Yeah.
Well, good choice. You always put a little thought into your choices. I just kind of shoot from the hip. I got to put a little more thought into it, a little more effort. Got to step it up.
Speaking of music, I was at a full house Friday night at the Resch Center in Green Bay.
Alan Jackson. How was it?
Brandy Clark first, then Mr. John Party. And that heavy metal country?
Heavy metal country.
Would that be? It's hard to describe these boys as country.
Yeah,
I'm loud and proud.
I have no idea who that is.
Mr. John Party, P-A-R-D-I.
Okay. And how was Alan?
Alan was good. Yeah. Alan's everyman, Tyler.
What's your favorite Alan Jackson song?
Dallas or Remember When, I guess, yeah. Got to get a little sentimental there, T. Alan's 56. He's throwing guitar picks, slapping five with everybody in the front.
Is he very mobile up there, or does he just kind of mosey around and point?
Yeah, ambles around. Mosey's a good word.
Okay.
He's 6'4", 56 years old. He played for an hour and 40, one encore. Everybody left happy.
1 to 10, what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a good solid 9.
Whoa.
I can't complain about anything.
Better than
I even had a good seat for once at a concert, T.
Where'd you sit?
I called on time. I don't know, back about 15 rows in the middle. Floor seats.
Not bad.
Where those UWGB Phoenix normally roll.
Was it better than when we saw Sleep at the Wheel at the casino in Green Bay? That was pretty cool.
That was a great show.
Yeah, just playing at the bar there. Got to like Ray Benson. He'll give you a point.
How tall Jam is he? Out.
6'9"? 6'10", maybe? Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
It was good.
Hey, well, we had a draft last weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, a little bit of a draft. We've been meaning to do a podcast. We're finally getting to it here. Busy week, a lot of stories, a lot of blogging, a lot of this and that. Bob caught up with the undrafted guys. So, yeah, thanks for hanging in there, loyal podcast listeners. We heard you loud and clear, so we're back out of here. All right, give me a grade, Bob. Put a letter on this draft.
I for incomplete, Tyler. That's the best I can do.
What are your initial impressions of this draft?
Well, I tried to wrestle with that in that column on Monday. Was that a week ago? I can't even remember. Multiple choices outside the box in our headline. They got a heck of a team, Green Bay, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't need a whole lot. Picking 30, it's not easy. He didn't want to trade up, so... You get what's kind of left in every round. It's not an easy business. You're kind of, as one scout told me, he says, you're shooting for doubles down there. You're not shooting for home runs, you know. Mm. And that's kind of what they got, a bunch of doubles, they hope, and guys who can play. We'll see. They were able to take some fluff, as another scout said. No big guys in this draft. Specialist. How'd you see it?
I thought you nailed it there because, I mean, they're in a position to take a guy who played college basketball for 4 years in Quentin Rollins in the second round. They're in position to take a free safety in an Arizona State defense that had a lot of zero coverage. So they did see him in man-to-man, and they saw him around the ball. And, hey, maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't. I mean, they're in a position to kind of make these different type of picks. Take a fullback. Who thought they'd take a fullback in this draft? Four fullbacks were drafted. Unbelievable. Ty Montgomery. I mean, that's a special teams pick, at least for this year. Return kicks, maybe punts. I'm with you. I think what stood out to me was the fact that they kind of took a chance on playmakers and defensively, where, you know, when this defense has been at its best and they were forcing turnovers in 2010, and you know, Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson and Nick Collins and, you know, so many of those big plays that just changed games. And even last year in the NFC Championship game, they pick off Russell Wilson 4 times. I mean, to go the distance, you have to turn the ball over. It sounds like a simple formula to success, but these are two guys that did it a ton. I mean, they did it in college, and you know, you can't teach some instincts. You just, there's things you can coach up, things you can't, and I thought it was two good choices to go cornerback early like that, load up at a premium position, and to take a chance with both picks. Who do you think out of Rollins and Randall, if you were to, you know, with what the scouts told you, who do you think has the bigger upside here? Who could be that long-term playmaker?
The scouts see these guys as safeties, Ty. Mm-hmm. What can you say? I mean, out of those 20 voters I had, they could put these guys at any position they wanted. I didn't give them any restrictions. I used to do that 5 years ago. I'd say so-and-so has to be considered as a corner. And they'd say, you sure? We got that guy on our board as a safety. But I stopped doing that. And so there's guys getting votes at both positions now. You know, I was trying to avoid that in the past. All right, 11 guys got votes at corner. Randall got 0.
Wow.
And Rollins got 1 fifth-place vote for 1 point. So there's 10 corners, you know, who got more votes than them. Now, at safety, Randall finished 2nd. Rollins finished 4th. So it's hard to evaluate these two players at corner in a way because most of these scouts talk to me about them as safeties. They see them as safeties.
Now, when I talked to Damaris Randall on the phone the day after the draft ended, and then he said it again at rookie camp this past weekend that he said he was in man-to-man coverage 95% of the time. That in their defense, the way that they blitz so much, that he was locked into receivers, and he admitted it was inside mostly, in the slot, but to him, there's no doubt in his mind that he can be a cornerback. But the scouts, did they bring up cornerback with this guy much at all?
A little bit. But they hadn't seen him play. I mean, yeah, some in the slot in special, sub situations. But for 2 years at Arizona State, he'd been a base safety, played corner in junior college, but I don't think these guys look at a whole lot of junior college tape.
Right.
Maybe a little bit, but not much. Rollins, I mean, he played corner at Miami for 1 year, and then he ran the 4.54, and some teams at that point just moved him immediately to safety. Mm-hmm. They felt the speed was not there. Brian Gutekunst, the Packers director of college scouting, he was asked about Rollins' speed, and he said he's fast enough. He plays fast enough.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
And neither of them are 6 feet tall either. And what did Ted Thompson say when we're tall enough? So fast enough, tall enough. They want playmakers. Here's what Demarius Randall said on just kind of being around the ball. Quote, "I've always been a guy who has a knack for the ball. I'm pretty good at baiting quarterbacks and having them think I'm beat by a step or two. I can be very, very deceptive. I was just baiting the quarterbacks to throw it. They threw it, and I got interceptions." At junior college, he actually had, seven picks in five games. So quarterbacks stopped throwing to him. They moved him to safety just so he could be around the ball more. So he thinks he has the knack. Now, when people saw this comment, I got a bunch of emails from people comparing him to Terrell Buckley, saying that Buckley was saying the same kind of things out of college and that he was a bust. They could have taken a Jalen Collins. They could have taken an Eric Rowe. There were some other cornerbacks there, P.J. Williams, maybe more pure cover guys. But why do you think it's important to roll the dice on a Demarius Randall? It's somebody who's maybe going to be around the ball somehow.
I don't know that it is important. I mean, they believed in the guy's ball skills, his versatility. They think the game's going that way, which it has been in recent years. Teams that win the Super Bowl still run that ball, though. Eric Rowe is a perfect crest corner. Mm-hmm. And he went 47 to the Eagles.
Long player. Also has some experience at safety, but he just... They get a lot of breakups, not a lot of interceptions.
He's a better tackler than Randall. He's bigger. We saw him play at the Big House, T.
Your watch is beeping again there, Bob.
Yikes.
We got to figure
that
out.
Can you please fix that
for me? I can't fix wrist watches. I don't wear wrist watches. I
got
a cell phone.
My daughter again, Tyler? Jeez.
It's just start pushing buttons.
Stop it. There. Can we get back to this podcast now?
That thing was beeping during the draft, wasn't it?
I think so. Where were we?
The watch just ruined the podcast. Let's just shut it off after 13 minutes here. What do you think?
I apologize deeply to the listeners.
From the bottom of your soul. Okay.
Rowe. He's a press man guy. We saw him play Utah at Michigan, right?
That's right.
We were in the end zone, row 7.
That was...
We saw the Utes hammer the Wolverines that day.
We had all that lightning there. Remember that?
They cleared the stadium.
Yeah, they shut it down.
Eric Rowe, he played corner for 1 year. He was a safety before that. He's big. He's almost 6'1", 203. Not a real smart guy. He was there. He lasted 17 more picks. Now, I don't know. Hey. I don't know. Randall, one thing about Randall, and I can't remember at the combine, he was 5'10 and 7/8. At pro day, he was 5'10 and 5/8. Not real big.
All right, well, here's a question for you then. So after the draft, I was just kind of listening to some other GMs and coaches just talk about their picks, their press conferences. And Doug Whaley, the Bills GM, he was talking about the Darby pick they took out of Florida State. Mm-hmm. And he admitted, he said, basically, that they look around the division and they see what they're up against. They see the Patriots on their receivers, and they basically saying, yeah, when we make selections, we take that into consideration. And what did Mike McCarthy say at the podium? That we don't look at the division and 6'4 and 6'5 guys and then go draft 6'1 corners and saying that that's not something that they look at. You know, what back in 1999, was it when Ron Wolf took the 3 cornerbacks in a row after Randy Moss just ripped through him as a rookie? They're thinking about the division, one player then. How much do you think that enters the draft room? The fact that they've got a Calvin Johnson, they've got an Alshon Jeffrey, Kevin White now, all these guys, and they drafted corners, but they weren't very tall. I mean, should you be thinking of size when you have big receivers in your division? They obviously didn't. I mean, they took corners, but they didn't take big ones.
You know, one thing, in 99, it was the NFC Central, a five-team division.
Yeah.
Half your games are in the division. This is 37%, 6 out of 16. I don't think it should be a big factor. Green Bay's trying to win it all. That's what they're all about here, and they're trying to beat Seattle and whoever else is they think is the top team right now. I don't think it should be that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of saw where McCarthy was, you know, talking about there. Rollins, should we talk some more about Rollins? I mean, we saw the touchdown. It was right in front of us Friday during practice, the one practice that was open. It was a nice pick, Ty.
It really
he
was.
He broke on Hundley. Hundley's got a big arm. He broke and made that play, and it was a touchdown.
Right, and we'll get into Hundley later, but he looked really good too. But that was the play. That was the play of the day with Quentin Rollins.
Yeah.
And outside of that, he just seemed to move smooth, fluid.
Did you think so?
Yeah,
I didn't watch him that much.
Tried to watch him. Yeah, he just seems very natural for him, which, you know, is interesting for a guy who only played 1 year of college football. I mean, you would almost expect to just see maybe this athletic guy that was a little awkward trying to move and cut and break on ball, and he wasn't that. He seemed pretty fluid out there. Granted, it's one practice without pads on, but he definitely stood out.
You know, Rollins is a good tackler. Everybody says he's a tough guy. Randall, I'm not saying he's not tough, but he wasn't a real strong tackler. Not a big, you know, break down and square up kind of a hitter. So from that standpoint, maybe he is a corner, not a safety.
Yeah. What's the big phrase from this draft? Stick your nose in there.
Stick
your face in there.
Either one.
Either one. That's the buzz phrase.
I heard that all April. A lot.
You did?
Yeah. That's a big word.
Sticking the nose in there.
And the other one for a bad character? Well, this is... You're a turd, Tyler.
A turd. A turd.
Yeah, turd.
Turd.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. John Hauser, the DB coach in Miami of Ohio, he said the same exact thing, that when Rollins made that switch to football, and they had a new coaching staff, and, you know, they figured out, what the heck, why not just welcome this guy onto the team? If, you know, they lost some guys in recruiting, and they needed to have a team, so they gave him a chance. That was one of his concerns, is this guy going to be physical? Is he going to tackle? Is he going to come up and run support and do that? And, you know, Rollins kind of admitted, you know, the first couple practices were a little rough, but game time came, and he was pretty physical. I mean, you can see it on the film. Didn't Brian Gutekunst, he mentioned that as well, that really from game one early in the season, they saw somebody who was willing to come up and hit. A pretty telltale sign. And it's a wild backstory that he had the season he had. Granted, it's in the MAC, but to have that many interceptions, pass breakups, to be physical and run support when he didn't play the game since high school, 4 years he didn't play football.
You know, Tyler, there's not a negative on this player.
Yeah.
Except one huge, you know, it's a scarlet letter on him, this 40 time. And whether he can play outside at 4-5-4, no one knows. He's been in the MAC. He played in the Senior Bowl practices. And he gave up. I saw some stuff in those practices. He gave up a little down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the ball wasn't necessarily thrown perfectly and all that. But, you know, you could see a little bit of speed deficiency. Can he do this? That is the key. Everything else should be good. Based on Friday, I liked him. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Based on talking to him in the locker room, liked him. Randall, we didn't see play. He had an ankle injury on Friday, so just don't know about him right now.
That's a good opportunity. Let's just jump into a quick question from our buddy Nick Kovac. Asked us here on email. He kind of pointed to that. He said, with a lot of teams relegating Rollins to safety after he ran the 40-yard dash in 4.54, Let's see. Where's the question? He said he checked Tremont Williams' pro day time at Louisiana Tech, and Tremont ran a 4.57, and he was wondering if Tremont sped up, got faster, improved that after he got to the NFL. Remember, Tremont Williams, I think he led the nation in pass breakups, and he wasn't even drafted. And was kind of wondering, is this something, maybe can the guy get faster? And actually, Tremont Williams tweeted back at Nick and us, right, and pointed out that that time he had at Louisiana Tech, the 4.57, was on a wet track, I believe. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. I believe him. Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't just say that. So,
he said his times were then in other workouts between 4.48, 4.44, and 4.48.
Okay.
Tremont said.
Okay.
And hey, all of us who saw him play, his ability to chase plays down from behind, running across field, people had broken stuff on the other. He was running in the low 4.4s most of his career. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see any question in that. I don't think his speed. Perhaps he diminished a little bit this year, but not much. Overly, he held that speed.
Yeah. So there are some other factors, I guess, into a 40 time that you have to take into consideration. Who knows if there's anything with Rollins? I mean, they took Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde. They didn't have the best 40 times either. And they're gonna find out. You know, it all kind of comes back to the question, though, Bob. I mean, they know that Sam Shields is fast enough to be an outside corner. Who's gonna be that other boundary cornerback? Casey Hayward still? Would you say?
Right now, on paper, let me mention one other little thing on Rollins, just to put on the record. You know the negatives? He's 5'11 even, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It doesn't really fit the Green Bay height profile for the position, but it's okay. It's not a strength. It might be okay. It might not be. We'll see. Okay. Hyde, 4.57.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that. You know, Hayward ran around 4.52, I believe, and we'll have to see if he can hold up outside. Who else you got outside? Goodson?
Dimitri Goodson.
You did the story on him. He's a confident guy, right, Tyler? What did he say that day?
He is. He expects to compete to start and thinks that facing Jordy Nelson all season long on the scout team, picking off Aaron Rodgers, quote-unquote, six or seven times, is putting him in a position to legitimately compete for the job. And, you know, he's another one of those projects, outside-the-box type of picks, a point guard for 3 years himself at Gonzaga. Really, I mean, he was at Baylor multiple years, but was only healthy for one full season. We saw him there at training camp early on. They kind of picked on him that one drill, remember that red zone drill.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the exhibition season, he had a couple breakups, didn't he? Looked a little better. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't see the 11-on-11 during the year, you know. During practices, during the season, we get in there and, we hang around for 45 minutes on some days.
Or less on the days. Yeah.
That's close to the media. Maybe he did improve to a point where he's going to realistically compete. We don't know. It's going to be interesting. OTAs and minicamp start at the end of the month, and then training camp late July. It's coming up fast.
He's a 4.52. He's 5.11 and a half, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 5.11 and a half, not 5.11. He's an explosive athlete. I like him. I thought he was real tough on special teams down the stretch when he played a little bit. So, yeah, he's got a shot.
Should Green Bay be worried that they don't have tall cornerbacks, though? They don't have many tall cornerbacks. Should that be a concern?
Do they have a six-footer? Hyde.
Hyde? You haven't seen him play outside?
How tall is Hyde? 6 feet?
Mm-hmm.
I think on the nose.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't this all the rage with Richard Sherman and Brandon Browner and the Legion of Boom? You need tall cornerbacks who are physical. And Green Bay's basically saying, no, we want playmakers. We see a different mold. We want a different type of cornerback here.
You know, Seattle plays that cover three, so you're not
different.
Running with people deep. Green Bay's playing a lot of man. We'll see if they play it again this year.
And I know they don't look in the division, but you have some big boys.
So Calvin Johnson. Who else we got?
Alshon Jeffrey.
Kevin White.
Well, Minnesota, they got more the speed kind of guy, and Mike Wallace. And they drafted, who did they draft?
They did draft somebody. I don't know. They got Cordarrelle Patterson if he ever becomes a player.
Yeah. I mean, you don't draft a tall corner because of that, but you're going to run into big receivers. You remember Julio Jones' record-setting day there at Lambeau Field. Who played him the best? Devon House, a taller guy, physical guy. So this is the gamble, right? I mean, hey, it's great to get playmakers, players who had those instincts and find a way to get the turnover. But
Stephon Diggs went to the Vikes.
That's what it was.
He's even 6 feet. He's not a power guy.
Okay.
So, yeah, and you got some tight ends that are going to be, you know, Martellus Bennett. Ebron, if he comes around in Detroit. Who's that big Fourier, the red zone threat for the Lions, 6'7"? Who the Vikes got?
Rudolph?
Yeah. Okay. Missed half the year, but he's certainly a good receiver. Yeah, something to be concerned. It's a factor. They're shorter than they have been.
All right, let's plug along here. Let's go to the third round. Ty Montgomery, one of those kind of luxury picks for Green Bay. I mean, they can take a returner. They can take a player who lined up and slot out wide in the backfield, kind of did a little bit of everything. Didn't have the best 2014 season, but he averaged less than 10 yards per catch, right?
I don't know. Was that right?
Yeah, I think it was 9.9, something like that. So maybe some concerns there that the Packers looked at, and they thought it was more the quarterback play, I think the scout Sam Seal said. But Seal also said he's a quote-unquote bigger Randall Cobb. High praise from the West Regional scout in Ty Montgomery. What did the scouts tell you about him?
He got heavy this year. He was 221 at the combine, and then he cut down to 211 at pro day. I listed him at 215. I was just trying to maybe split the difference and then make a pound down to the most recent weigh-in. I just don't know. He's a bit of a gadget guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wide receiver in a running back's body. He's very good after the catch. He doesn't track the deep ball very well, according to two scouts. Some concerns there. One guy just flat does not ever see him going out and starting outside. Just doesn't see that in his makeup. Two of the three special team coaches I talked to, Adam is the number one dual returner in the draft. Number one. Pretty good year for returners, too. The other guy had him among his top four. He didn't rank the top four. So they got a guy who should help there. He walks in immediately as DeJuan Harris's replacement. Depends what they do with Hyde. Hyde's a good punt returner, and Cobb is a good punt returner, so what he does there. And then he makes the team as a screen slot bubble guy, right?
Right. Eclectic guy. Went to Stanford. He's finishing up three classes, I think he said. He was working on a paper when we talked before rookie camp and grew up with 17 foster siblings.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
Quite a story.
Yeah, his mom, he wanted a sibling and just kept bringing in kids and wanted the kids to stick together. And he saw a lot of these siblings that came from rougher backgrounds and really, really interesting guy. So, yeah, I mean, they obviously liked him as a person. Smart, coming from Stanford, a complex offense. That shouldn't be a problem in terms of what to do, when to do it, being on the same page with Aaron Rodgers in time. That was so important with Randall Cobb. So then in rookie camp, we get a look at him in the one open practice that we saw. And, boy, one hard slant comes to mind. Hundley just put it on a rope, reached up high for it. Had a lot of receptions, and he also burnt a cornerback deep. He's got the speed. He was actually out wide on this play and then dropped it. And isn't that one of the concerns with him, is the inconsistent hands is kind of also a part of Montgomery's game?
Yeah, he dropped too many late in his career at Stanford. One guy thought he was going to be a first-round pick based on that, you know, I think freshman year or sophomore year when he first started playing. But it didn't really work out that way, and Stanford didn't have a real good year. And I think a lot of people, you know, he went in the top 100, and I thought that was a, you know, some people saw him as more of a four, I think, too.
You mentioned the size, though. I mean, he is a grown bleeping man, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's that play, Andrus Pete, the tackle that played with him, brought it up against, what team was he playing on this? Washington. Might have been Marcus Peters, the cornerback. He might have been one of the guys up the left sideline, a 17-yard touchdown, where he just completely just runs through two guys.
Really?
I mean, lowers his shoulder, drops the boom, and gets through two guys, scores a touchdown. So you know he's strong, that's good for the position to have that in general. You know, Randall Cobb, pound for pound, is one of the stronger receivers in the league. He can take a shot, and he can go over the middle. You know, Green Bay likes that kind of receiver. I like the pick. I think it's going to be interesting to, you know, see what he becomes, because this, they, like you said, I mean, they can make these kind of selections. Can you imagine if they did lose Cobb in free agency and or Brian Bulaga? I mean, those are could have been one, two major needs in addition to cornerback, or maybe they are able to keep Tremont Williams. Yeah. They were able to take care of some things in free agency and make this draft weekend a smooth luxury type of weekend. All right. Any final thoughts on Montgomery?
Well, they took him over. They took him over Paul Dawson. This was the 94 pick. Dawson went 99.
Boy, so. I really nailed that column, didn't I, Bob? And I talking to Paul Dawson. They pass on him three times. Hey, speed, we'll see what happens.
The speed and the attitude. They said no thanks. Now he goes to the Bengals. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if they were. I had no idea if they liked him or didn't like him. I just thought, man, that attitude, that demeanor. But the scouts called him surly to you multiple times.
Yeah.
At inside linebacker, you know, he just seemed like that attitude that you want to keep a good thing going that you saw early in that Seattle game with the Barringtons and the Daniels and the Clinton Dixes. And now it's going to be very interesting. I mean, this is a good segue to get into inside linebacker. So they're able to take these corners, add playmakers. They take Montgomery, another creative weapon on offense. They wait at inside linebacker. They pass on everybody. I mean, they could have taken anybody there with that first round pick. Steph Anthony goes to get into the second round. And then there's that mini run on inside linebackers. Yet they still had a couple available when they took Rollins, I believe. Who was still there? Was it Perriman?
No, just Dawson.
It was just Dawson
McKinney,
still.
McKinney, Kendricks, and Perriman all went in that 40 to 50 range.
Okay.
And Anthony had gone late first, right after them at 31.
Yeah.
So the top four were gone. It was just Dawson, who we thought was the fifth best. So the scouts said in our poll that said he was the fifth best. They passed twice on Dawson, three times. Yeah. All right, so now they took Jake Ryan, the ninth inside linebacker to be selected. He also went behind Ramiq Wilson. Who else? Damian Wilson of Minnesota went.
Mm-hmm.
The top fives. So, yeah, he was number nine. All right, Ryan played inside under Greg Madison, a former 3-4 D coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. He played outside at Michigan in a 3-4 initially, blew out his knee, came back, played inside, made a bunch of tackles. 22 on the Wunderlich. Described by several scouts as an old-fashioned tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Old school. He never would have got drafted here if he wouldn't have run a good 40. And that surprised some people. He's in that 4.65, 4.63 right. range.
Tested well.
At 240, at 6'2 and a half, that's a good time.
Yeah.
Now, if he goes and runs 4.78, he's like a 6th or 7th round pick.
Wow.
People say the 40, it does matter. It matters a lot. When you play in the NFL, man, it's a speed game, Ty.
Yeah. But did Dawson run a 4.93 at the combine?
He did, and he came back with around a 4.78.
Right. Yeah, and I think Elliot Wolf even mentioned the time or the test results and how they were impressed by it. And you don't expect Ted Thompson's right hand man or any scout to go to the podium and say, "Well, we really wanted Steph Anthony to fall." But I mean, he was really high on Jake Ryan and said that they've been high on him for a while and that this is a guy that they liked, a guy that they had high on their board. Who knows what exactly their inside linebacker board was? But it seems like Green Bay is going to give him a shot. And maybe out of anybody in this draft, he's got the best opportunity to start, to play right away. I mean, we don't know. We haven't seen all these guys on the same practice field yet. But when you look at that position, Sam Barrington, maybe Clay Matthews to some degree still, Carl Bradford, Nate Palmer, Jake Ryan, Joe Thomas coming back his second year. Thomas looked really good early in camp before his injury. Well, for an undrafted pickup.
Yeah, not bad.
Boy, I don't know how do you differentiate all those players. I think it really is going to be pretty open with that whole bunch.
We agree, and we just don't know Matthews' role, Tyler, so we can't really say anything more.
And on Matthews' role, Mike McCarthy did such a good job of playing coy, didn't he? He said that after the draft, Clay Matthews is an outside linebacker. He's a pass rusher. I was just in the inside linebacker room with Clay Matthews, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team. So I think that's going to be the theme here, you know, up until week one at Chicago. This isn't something they're just going to broadcast and say what they're going to do. He loves kind of keeping a little secrecy here. Remember Randall Cobb and wanting that to be a secret with him out of the backfield? Or you know, Mike Neal, moving him to outside linebacker. I imagine that we're not going to know the full intentions of Clay Matthews' usage.
That hidden 4-3 looked good in Seattle on opening night, didn't it, Ty? On a Thursday night up there? Jumped that baby after, what, 2.5 games?
Well, I mean, it is a good debate. Like, okay, if you want to hide something, if you want to save a scheme, and you don't want to go out in training camp and practice it, you know, there's a level of deception there that you might want to have. But it also helps to, hey, just own it. Go out there, practice your 4-3, see what works, see what doesn't work. Use it in the preseason. Just, you know, I don't know. There's not many secrets in the NFL, is there? I mean, people know. They pay attention. They see how players might be used. Might have helped to practice it a little bit, I guess. More than they did. Didn't last long.
They didn't show it in an exhibition game, did they? They practiced it periodically.
A little bit.
In front of a couple thousand people. Yeah. Right. Good old quad.
Didn't pan out.
The forgotten quad. Yeah. The brainchild of the staff, huh? Okay, so then after this selection of Ryan, Ted Thompson traded down in the fifth, right? He traded back with the Patriots.
Up in the fifth.
Up. The Patriots went down.
The Patriots called the Packers.
Because the Patriots wanted the long snapper, and they knew nobody in their right mind would take a long snapper in the fifth round. There hadn't been one drafted in, what, 6 years? And so they figured, well, we'll pick up a seventh from somebody.
Yeah. Is that Bill Belichick just like trolling the league? I'm going to take a long snapper. Just kind of mocking everybody.
They believe in this guy. He's going to be there for 15 years. He may not do it till, you know, 2017, but.
Pretty good deal for Green Bay, though. I mean, they only had to give up a seventh round pick to trade up and take Brett Hundley.
Okay. We'll see. But I like the pick. All right. So, Tyler.
You like the long snapper pick?
Not sure about him.
Oh, okay.
I like the Hundley.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the long snapper.
I mean, I advocated to draft that quarterback in November, December, I guess.
I did.
Wrote that column and got ridiculed by some for it, but holding my ground on that one. And lo and behold, Hundley falls down to 167, I believe it was. 147, excuse me. And you've talked to Hundley. You've talked to his coaches. Tyler, you take it up on Mr. Brett Hundley, UCLA.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to take a 6'3", strong, strong-armed, fast, we're not, what, 4'6'3", athletic type of project on this team. I mean, he doesn't have to play right away, obviously, and they've got Scott Tolzien. They have the benefit of time. It makes a lot more sense to take a quarterback like this as opposed to maybe a Bryce Petty or one of these other kind of spread guys. I mean, take a chance, roll the dice on athleticism, on size, on a strong arm, and see if you can develop. I mean, it's obviously the physical tools are there. Now, there are question marks, and Taylor Mazzoni, his quarterback coach there at UCLA, you know, really couldn't say enough great things about him, obviously, and was really stunned that he lasted in the fifth round. One thing he did note, though, is he needs to take more chances on that 50-50 ball, trust his receivers a little bit more, and just let it rip. Throw it in there. He says he's got the accuracy, but maybe at times he was a little too cautious. He only threw 5 interceptions last year. So, I mean, that's a good quality. You don't want a guy turning it over, but maybe that's something he can work on. But he defended the offense that they ran and said that there were plays that they ran at UCLA that do transfer. He brought up the Russell Wilson touchdown to Ricardo Lockett against Green Bay, where he kind of rode that read option fake. The receiver blocked a little bit, then springs loose. It's math. You know, Green Bay didn't have enough guys on that side of the field, and they exploited it. He said that was a play that they ran all the time, and that Hundley had a touchdown against Utah on the same exact type of play a couple years ago. I said, well, is there anything else that when you watch Green Bay specifically in their offense, being a football guy, that you think Brett Hundley can fit into? And he said that he was watching the Dallas playoff game. Let me see if I can pull up his exact quote, but I'm paraphrasing right now. He's watching that Dallas playoff game, and that all, like, you know, when they spread it out and kind of the horizontal game with Randall Cobb, the getting the ball out quick, taking the snap, you know, out of the shotgun and whipping it out, making the right read. He said that was the kind of stuff that Hundley did a lot of in college too. So, I mean, he thinks that there are parts of their offense and things that they did that can transfer. I mean, that was a big question mark
with Hundley, I imagine, when you talk to scouts, is the offense he ran.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they think there's going to be a tremendous amount of training and restructuring, I guess. Boy, you know, the Saints took Garrett Grayson. He was the third quarterback selected. Wow. And the Rams took Sean Mannion, also in the third. I can see the Jets taking Bryce Petty over Hundley. But Hundley was a solid fourth in that scouts poll. I know, you know, there's reasons not to like his accuracy. Has been roundly, you know, regarded as a real deficiency right now. You watched him on Friday, Tyler. I thought his accuracy was pretty good.
Throwing the receivers he's ever thrown to in his life.
No idea about anything going on. Nobody did. It's just running around out there.
Kind of funny. He said he stayed up pretty late the night before, you know, with the center, Andy Phillips, a tryout guy with some other players. And I said, well, who did you stay up with? And he's like, oh, shoot. What were their names? He couldn't remember the names of the guy. So that's just kind of the world he's in. He doesn't know the guys around him. And, hey, he looked pretty under the circumstances. I mean, granted, the bar that we have here is Chase Reddick last year, B.J. Coleman before that. You know, these rookie camps can be pretty ugly. And it wasn't ugly.
The ball was coming out quick. It was coming out hard. And it was coming out pretty much online. He's got these huge hands, 10.5-inch hands, the biggest of any quarterback in the draft. 36 vert, tied Mariota. The guy was impressive Friday.
Yeah.
For a little tiny snippet. We were looking at 50-some guys, Tyler. I concentrated more at that practice than I have every year. I mean, that is just one to look at everybody as quick as you can, you know. We got one look at it. I don't know if he'll ever play, but I really like the pick.
Here's that quote from Mazzoni. He said, quote, setting his feet and seeing just by alignment, just horizontally, who we have flanked out. That's the whole offense that we ran. So if you're looking for a guy who can see the weakness of a defense on the second level to the third level, he sees it on every down. It's not a huddle offense that runs the ball a lot, that breaks the huddle, goes to the line of scrimmage, hands the ball off. We're constantly looking for that defender that we cannot block. Brett's awareness for knowing what the O-line can't handle, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to see, you know. I mean, they just rave about this guy's work ethic. And he had to wait before in high school. His high school coach told me that he kept him on the JV team as a sophomore. And, you know, he's five mornings a week. He's running 3 miles with his dad. And that there was a time in their weightlifting class he squatted, what was it? It might have been 225 pounds 44 times the same day that Iowa State had coaches coming in to see him throw. So, I mean, Green Bay, I'm sure they investigated all this. They like the kid. They like his work ethic. They think he'll handle this type of weight the right way. And 2-3 years down the road, see what happens. I mean, this is something that when you covered the team in the 90s that Ron Wolf did all the time, right?
Yeah, taking one all the time. It's a good pick. All right, we go to the 6. They had 3 picks and then none in the 7. I guess let's rip through these guys quick. Aaron Ripkowski at number, I don't know what it was. Defensive end, nose tackle. Nah, he's a 3 technique.
You're talking Christian Ringo.
Ringo and tight end Kennard Backman of UAB. Yep. Tyler, say something quick about these 3 gentlemen.
Ripkowski, well, it's going to be interesting. In the same room as John Kuhn. No guaranteed money for Kuhn. Hard to see him keeping 2 fullbacks. I guess they could. Sam Gash, with him as a running backs coach, you know, you have to think he's going to love this guy as a lead blocker, throwback type. He only touched the ball 14 times in college. We'll see. I guess the fullback position isn't dead yet. Christian Ringo, I don't know if they make this type of pick if Mike Daniels isn't having the career he's having. You know, you talk to him in the locker room and you really do look at him eye to eye. He's not a tall guy, but a lot of TFLs, a lot of sacks at Louisiana Lafayette. One of those classic tweener types that was passed over. He wanted to stay in the state of Mississippi. He wanted to go to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, even Southern Miss. They all ignored him. Was checking the mailbox, checking his email, never got that scholarship offer. And, hey, we like Daniels to an extent, who wasn't heavily recruited either, kind of used it. They like that. They view him as that type of player. A poor man's Mike Daniels will have a chance. And Kennard Backman, you know, can he do what Brandon Bostic couldn't? Can he learn the offense to a point to be that threat down the seam, down the field? Had not great numbers at UAB. 399 yards, about 3-4 touchdowns, but used him all over. Athletic player, former basketball player, played on AAU teams down there in Atlanta area with a lot of D1 college players at a really good basketball game, but just stopped growing. He stopped at like 6'3", gravitated to football, and into college, did a little bit of everything at UAB. And it is funny, man. You look at some of his film, the game where he got ejected for targeting. I mean, just laid a guy out on a pancake. And there's another play where he just kind of steamrolled a guy over the bench on the sideline. I imagine that's what Mike McCarthy's getting at when he says he, quote unquote, sticks his face in there. That's what they're going to have to see out of him, right? The blocking, that's kind of an unknown.
We'll see about all of them, you know? Yep, we'll see.
You talked to the undrafted players this week, Bob. Who stood out to you out of this whole bunch? Are there two or three players that really have a legitimate shot here to make the team and do something down the road?
I'm just looking at the list. I thought Larry Pinkard, the wideout from Old Dominion and practiced at Bluefield College, I thought he looked kind of interesting. Smooth and fluid Friday. I thought James Waters, the outside backer from Stanford, showed some athleticism. I thought he really hustled and made some plays. He played faster than that 4.84, it looked like, with about five quick looks at him. I thought Jimmy Hunt, the wideout from Missouri, I liked his size. He's pretty thick, and I thought he was pretty quick. He looks like a guy who'd be hard to tackle.
He had a nice catch and stride on a slant, didn't he?
He did, yeah, right in front of us.
Then he had a drop later on in practice. But, you're right, he did stand out.
John Crockett, the running back from North Dakota State, from Minneapolis, got a ton of yards. I mean, that one scout said he thought he was a third or fourth round pick. It was a great year for running backs. That hurt Crockett, but, boy, the guy gained a lot of yards.
He did. Didn't he carry the ball almost 400 times last year, too?
Yeah. Career record, school record, 368 carries.
Wow.
Played 16 games, I believe, and only won three FCS titles in a row.
Interesting story, too. He seems like a pretty confident
player. Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know, good talker, good guy, yeah.
LaVon Hicks from Mississippi, never started there. JC basketball player, really. Played football there as well, but... kid, man, he's a 6'3.5 post guy who played against good people, had shot to go Division I. Love to see him play basketball. I bet that's interesting. But he was playing nose here Friday and kind of liked him. He moved pretty good. Dantzler, the inside backer from Bethune, you know, he'd been at a regional, a super regional. He ran 4.61, he told me. I did not have an official time on the guy. Didn't run at pro day because he had just run for pro scouts at those regional combines. Played 4.3 Sam backer Bethune, but you know, he thinks he's a better 3.4 inside backer. He'll get his shot. A lot of interesting guys. Malcolm Agnew, we assume flunked his physical, but I sure wanted to see him. Oregon State, then right. Southern Illinois running back. Boy, the scouts said a lot of nice things about him. Now, there's a whole bunch of guys here, you know. 17, that's a lot more than normal.
No DeJuan Harris. Boy, that number three running back job. I know they drafted a fullback, too. I mean, that factors into it. But good opportunity for Crockett. See how he fits in now. I don't know how much of a receiver he is. But
then we got a list of the 25 orphans, Tyler.
The orphans.
Came to camp with nothing. A plane ticket. Three squares each day for 3 days. A three-day tryout. We'll find out later today, which is Sunday, if they're going to sign any of these guys. You got Raymond Maples, sixth all-time in Army rushing history. It's a lot of years of ball, Ty. 125.
That is.
All right. Mike Hardy from Kimberly was a state player. The DE from Iowa. So those are the orphans.
The orphans.
When does the OTA start? Or whatever that is.
I know the open OTA for the media and the public is May 28th, so that started that week. Right around the corner.
Wasn't it all, when these OTAs started about 10 years ago, I think these were open every day.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just open them up. Fans, media, anybody.
Yeah. Close them off now a little bit.
Tighten it up.
Let's get to some questions here on Twitter before we sign off here on Mother's Day. Hope, by the way, a quick happy Mother's Day to all the great moms out there. Had a great talk with my mom this morning. Love you, Mom. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Luckiest son in the world. You got any good mom stories, Bob?
She was a grammarian in my house. Mm. You know, she was an English teacher, graduated from Michigan in the late 20s. She was a little, she was getting up there when she had me. And, love of language and all that kind of stuff comes from her. If I make grammatical mistakes, I still think she's rolling around up there not happy with me. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mother's Day. No, nobody greater.
Oh, my God. You got that right.
Yep.
Sean Vosk. What's the word on John Crockett? How does he look? Does he have a chance of making the roster?
He's a squatty guy. You could see that in our two or three glances at him, you know. Kind of a quick burst. He's a tough guy. He's a good athlete. He's got a real chance.
Louis Mlaskoak, I think that's how you say his name, asks, do you think the Packers carry two fullbacks? Could John Kuhn be cut at the end of training camp? That's a loaded question for
him. He could be. Sure he could be. He's 32 now, I guess. I don't know. Somewhere in there.
Could be. Vets minimum. Pro Bowl bonuses, workout bonuses. But, they really love Rutkowski. But they also love the fact that Kuhn knows the offense really well.
I think they could keep them both too, Tyler, and just go one less at tight end.
They could. Definitely could.
If Rutkowski shows he's really important on special teams.
PackersInsider.com. He asks, how can Hundley help the Packers? Aaron Brooks / Mark Brunau route, Matt Flynn, Brian Brohm. I guess right now, he just has to develop, right? And they just have to develop this guy, and they probably don't need a lot out of him on the field anytime soon. It's going to be a good competition with Scott Tolzien.
It's the most important position, right? He can help them win games. Injuries happen, Tyler. It's just the way it is.
Fractured collarbone 2013, calf injury 2014, concussions before that. You never know. You have a two-time MVP. Smart draft pick by Green Bay.
A lot better at quarterback right now with Brett Hundley. Obviously Tolzien, but we're just talking about Hundley, than they were with Graham Harrell.
He also asks, why not draft Lyle Collins with one of those three sixth-round picks? Nobody drafted the LSU offensive tackle, who was not a suspect in the murder of his ex-girlfriend but was questioned, ends up with the Dallas Cowboys on that loaded offensive line. I was pretty stunned that nobody drafted him. Seventh round, nobody took him. First round talent. What did you hear about him? What did scouts say?
As a player, yeah, he's right there, late one, early two.
How about as a person, though?
Almost nothing. I really don't know anything about that.
Okay.
When this murder stuff came up, it was all kind of new to me. Totally new to me.
@J_Hizzle. Which rookie will have the biggest impact this season? Bam. Go. Bob.
The biggest impact? We'll go with...
Come on now.
Take a shot. Nope.
Take a shot.
Nope. I have no.
Throw it out there.
No, not gonna.
Come on.
That's the kind of journalism that I do not. I'm not gonna authorize.
We're at 53 minutes on the podcast. Nope. And you can't even throw the listeners a bone.
No, sir. None.
All right.
I do not want to be held to that pick. Who are you going with?
I'll be held to a pick. I don't care.
Go with it.
Quentin Rollins.
Okay. All right.
There you go. What else we got? All right. Last one here from Josh. He asks, when will McCarthy shave that ugly beard? Is he trying to be like you? It's a solid beard. I think he should keep it going. We need more beards in the world.
Do you think he will? Will the coach stay with it?
Well, remember last year Winston Moss had the big beard and he said it was for grit. They wanted grit. Maybe the head coach is taking that on now and he wants grit and send a message.
Okay,
hey, I'm pro beard. I think you should keep it going.
We need some good music here, Tyler.
All right, here we go.
Thanks a lot.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.